is hot outside. Summer has definitely arrived. I must say, I was not expecting this from this morning, because my weather app said the chances of sun, well, not just today, but this week, are very slim. But then again, you know, weather apps are kind of like politicians. They lie and they manipulate you. They talk you into this horrible, horrible lie, and you fall for it. And that's just what politicians do. They talk you into this horrible, horrible lie that they just made of, and you fall for it. And this is what weather apps have become. That's why I've never ever relied on weather apps, even when I lived in the UK. And then it was only here when I moved here and people said, no, Wade, you need to download the weather app, especially if you ride a bicycle. Everyone in the Netherlands has this app and it is really, really good. So I thought, okay, well, what is this app then? And I downloaded it. It's called, maybe I won't pronounce it because it's a Dutch name, but it's a famous weather app in the Netherlands. You can download it on Android and iPhone, and it gives you a 3 hour in advance update, a 24 hour update, and a 48 hour if you really are that paranoid about weather. So yeah, this morning, obviously I have a second job that I do. I looked at my app and it said, oh, it's only going to rain at 8 o'clock. So I thought, okay, all right, I'll wake up at 6 o'clock. I'll get to work about an hour early. That's fine. I don't mind, you know. As I leave, it starts to rain. And it wasn't just rain, it was hail. Now imagine having hail in your eyes while you're trying to ride a bicycle. Anyway, enough about me blabbering on about my horrible start to the week. Hello, Lianka.
Oh, hey, Wade, how are you? Did you have a nice weekend?
Surprisingly, my weekend was very interesting. Italian restaurant that I've been meaning to go to, but I haven't had the time to go to. They follow me on Instagram and on other social network sites, and I thought, you know what, let me pay them a visit, you know, it's the least I can do. And I thought, you know what, I'll go on Saturday, because, you know, I was trusting my weather app that yesterday was just going to be a write-off. That wasn't the case. So I thought, okay, I'll go on Saturday and I'll pay these guys a visit. I must say the hospitality there is pretty good. Apart from my coffee. My coffee wasn't that great. I mean, but that's just because I love coffee. So I can tell if a coffee is good or not. But apart from that, the hospitality was good. The waiter was extremely friendly. Which is not often, you know, you don't get that often, you know, a very friendly, welcoming waiter. My Saturday was really good. And yesterday I did absolutely fuck all, which is my idea of a good day. How did your barbecue go?
Yeah, 100% I agree with you. Some days you need to have like a do nothing day. Like just lie on your back or just be comfortable and do nothing.
Yeah.
My barbecue was, well, we did it on Saturday, unfortunately. So we didn't barbecue. We just cooked all the meat in the oven. So I guess as a South African, I was a bit disappointed by that because I really wanted to eat stuff cooked on the fire. But I guess I'll just have to give it another go, like another weekend, invite people over again and cook some meat on the fire.
Well, I mean, if it's anything to go by, this week could actually turn out to be really good. I mean, my weather app says it's going to be raining all week, but yet again, it did tell me that the chances of sun appearing this week is very slim. And now look, it's 22 degrees outside. And I'm in shorts and a t-shirt in the studio.
The weather in this country changes so quickly. It's like so schizophrenic. I really still have to get used to it.
It's very bipolar, the weather here.
Sorry?
It's very bipolar, the weather.
Yeah, it's very bipolar or bipolar.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. No, it's definitely, I mean, it jumps by like 10 degrees from day to day. I'm just like, how does that even work? Like, I mean, I don't have a very good understanding of the weather, but I don't understand how the wind and the sun and the latitude and longitude and the moon and the everything has to be positioned for it to just change 10 degrees in one day. So, yeah, that's still interesting to me. I'm still trying to acclimatize myself.
Well, the thing is, when you've lived in the UK for as long as I did, you know, it's kind of like you just don't care about weather anymore. It's just, it's more like you wake up in the morning and you open your curtains, and that's how you tell how your day is going to be. You don't need a weather app.
I mean, yeah, the weather is it's like a fickle bitch, isn't she? Or he, who knows? But yeah,
they. You got to be careful now. It's they or it.
The weather is a fickle bitch, a fickle entity. Yeah, so it's very interesting for sure. I'm a cyclist, and I normally just pack for all the occasions. So I cycle around with a big bag, a wielrenner, not just like a normal commuter cyclist. I'm also a wielrenner, so I wear the spandex and I do long distance. And I normally just pack like a hot jacket, a rain jacket, like a sleeveless jacket, sunscreen, my sunglasses, everything that you would need just in case.
Honestly, the perfect thing for me is what I'm wearing now. So a t-shirt, a pair of shorts, and my sunglasses. And then I'm happy.
Well, I mean, but I guess if you live in Europe, well, in this part of Europe anyway, that's not an outfit you can wear for most of the year. So, like, that's like a 2 to 4 month a year outfit, isn't it?
Well, I don't want to talk about too much about the weather, because I'm not sure that's why people have tuned in to listen to us. But it's really strange how weather works in Europe, because when I arrived here, by the way, I forgot to mention this on Friday, but the 5th of May, which was last week, Thursday or Wednesday or whenever it was, that was 1 year that I've been in the Netherlands.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
I know. And
that a public holiday?
Yeah, it was Liberation Day.
Yeah, there we go.
And I didn't know this until the day I arrived in the Netherlands, and the people I was staying with at the time said, oh, it's Liberation Day. So you arrived on a good day. So, I mean, I couldn't have made this up. I mean, I left the UK, which I never really liked, and I was liberated by the Dutch. I mean, who would have thought?
Oh, well, yeah, that's a very serendipitous story. Look at that.
You can't make this up. So I remember last year when I arrived, for about 2.5 weeks, around that time period, I remember it was just sunny. It didn't rain for almost 2.5 weeks. It could have even been 2.5 weeks, but it was just sunny. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. You know, fast forward 12 months, and now this is more according to the local people, typical Dutch weather. So
yeah,
it's,
you mean like no sunshine and rain?
Yeah, very unpredictable weather. So it's very... it's very strange, the weather pattern in Europe. Anyway, we got lots to talk about on the show today, lots to get through. Lots happened over the weekend, and we're going to get you ready for your week.
Okay.
Lots is going to happen over the week. I'm pretty sure that by the time this podcast airs, something else would have happened. And by the time we come back on Friday, I'm pretty sure something spectacular would have happened. That's just how things are working at the moment in the world.
Sounds like you're anticipating something big.
Well. But listen to this. According to the Wall Street Journal, Remember we spoke about Bill Gates and Melinda Gates on Friday? Oh,
yes.
Now, according to the Wall Street Journal, Melinda Gates has been working with divorce lawyers for more than 2 years.
Oh, wow. So this has been a long time coming.
She's been wanting to get out for a very long time.
Well, maybe it was a mutual thing. I mean, I guess they've been, of course, they've been very good at keeping this a secret. So they're obviously, I assume, private people.
Yeah.
Based only on this one example, I assume that. But I do remember reading that in one of the articles that I read about the divorce, that they did say that they had already finalized the divorce settlement. I guess, and now the funds will be divided, which I guess it's a pretty important thing since Bill Gates is one of the most wealthy people in the world. If he was solely responsible for his fortune, you can say, oh, Bill Gates is the most rich, like the most rich person in the world, or one of the richest. But I guess Melinda feels that she helped him build all those riches. So, well, maybe she deserves them as well.
Well, and also, you know, Bill Gates is he's a businessman. So if anything, yeah, he's not going to wait any longer. He's just going to say, right, whatever I have to pay, let me pay for it. He'll probably negotiate with the lawyers because that's just Bill Gates. But that's very interesting. But what's even more interesting is that the reason why Melinda Gates actually wants a divorce or is getting divorced with Bill Gates is because it's over her husband's relationship with Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, that.
Apparently,
I like that sound.
Apparently, Bill Gates has a very strong relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, but most business people do. I mean, Donald Trump did. Prince Andrew, who is the Queen's favorite son, he's got a very special relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Or he did before he killed himself. Yeah. A lot of very rich, powerful people, men, should I say, a lot of very rich men, not just Americans, but a lot of very powerful, rich men around the world had very interesting relationships with Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess he's an influential person. If you have that much money, you're going to meet other people that have a lot of money. So, and I guess some people knew what he was doing. Or some people were allowed into the very inner circle where all that shit was going on. But a lot of people probably didn't even know. Well, maybe Bill knew. That's terrible.
Well, that's the thing. And I'm pretty sure that if Melinda did ask Bill, look, hey, Bill, I have some suspicions that you have a relationship with Jeffrey. And Bill will probably be like, yes, and so he's just a friend. Yeah, what do you want? We just hang out on his island with other little children, girls. You know, that's the kind of answer Bill Gates would give. You know, he doesn't hold back.
I don't know the guy that well. I don't know that much about him, so I don't even know how he would handle that situation. But it's very scandalous that that she's divorcing him over Jeffrey Epstein.
And good for her.
Epstein or Weinstein? No, I'm confused.
Epstein.
Oh, Harvey Weinstein.
No, Jeffrey Epstein. Yeah, yes. Yeah. They both the same. Yeah. They both. I mean, one is a extreme creep, and one is wanting to be a creep or is borderline creep.
No, they're both pretty creepy. They're both pretty terrible. But Epstein was probably the worst.
Yeah, he was the ringleader out of all the creeps. He honed and cloned them and trained them and all of that. Yeah, yeah. But you know what? Good for Melinda. You know, I think she's a very attractive woman. She can get any guy she wants.
For sure.
Yeah, she can get any guy she wants. Any guy.
Yeah, maybe she'll... Oh, I told you before, like, you know, maybe she'll do a Demi Moore now. Mm. Maybe she'll find, like, a rich prince or something. That would be nice. So that's just like my fairy tale dream.
Hey, my fairy tale dream is that she meets me.
Oh, yeah. That's actually, we did discuss it as well. Mm. You're the perfect age for her, aren't you? Like half her age.
She's a cougar, so it perfectly works out perfectly for me.
Well, let's hope she makes a trip to the Netherlands, you know?
Well, I mean, I'll be waiting for her, don't worry. Like that song by Lenny Kravitz. Whenever you call me, I'll be waiting. Whenever you need me, I'll be there. That's Lenny Kravitz. I can't play any music, by the way. Not because I don't want to, it because I'm getting into a lot of trouble by Spotify. Yeah, because Universal Music is bitching. Because, you know, people, they aren't making much money now because, you know, people are paying for subscriptions via Spotify, iTunes, Deezer, you know, wherever. Or maybe you're even downloading your music illegally. So, you know, Taylor Swift is getting very upset now because no one's buying her CDs. So she's not getting as rich as she was before pandemic times. So they're just looking for excuses to take my shows down.
I mean, I don't feel necessarily that bad for people like Taylor Swift, but sort of the small to mid-range artists, you know, they are suffering the most because they are not seeing any revenue. And I guess Spotify and iTunes and those types of services, they actually take quite a big percentage. Oh, and then also the record labels, they take quite a big percentage of the subscription fees that people pay. So the artists are not making that much of... New technology or new system, the new systems that we have now for listening to music and consuming media.
Yeah, not as much as they were making, I would say, before pandemic times. So that's why some of our episodes are under investigation or have been taken down already.
Wow, so, that's really quick, man.
No. They don't waste time, trust me. They don't waste time. And you know what? I'm at fault because in the beginning, when we started Amsterdam Lab and the Wade Hutchinson show, we did play music because, you know, we were experimenting. I just came from radio. So I basically took my radio show and made it into a podcast. So I was playing music and all of that. And then, you know, we started investigating more what people want, what people don't want. And obviously, one of the things was music, because nobody wants to listen to music on a podcast. So that's also why we took the music off. Some of our episodes are under investigation, and some have been taken off. But that's the first 20 episodes. I think
But you always think when you're like a small entity or a small party or a small company that people won't notice if you plagiarize or use other, like, someone else's material or content, but they pick it up with surprisingly...
You would think so, yeah.
...regularity nowadays.
But that just shows you how much time record companies have now, because people aren't buying their music and people aren't releasing as much new music as they were before, you know, pre-pandemic times.
I don't even know if it's the record companies having a lot of time. I just think the way that they encode the music... like they put metadata and stuff into it so they can easily track and trace these things when you do actually play it online. They probably have some algorithm that's running constantly to pick up like certain serial numbers or codes or whatever that's encrypted into the music. And then as soon as it registers somewhere, like an alarm goes off and yeah, they can easily track you.
That's how bored people are nowadays. No.
I mean, I guess... For me, it's more like when I think people are bored, I think of like 4chan or Reddit. There's some crazy things going on there. And I'm just like, what? Don't you people have stuff to do or jobs maybe?
Yeah, especially like this guy.
Okay, I'm bored in a house and I'm in a house bored. Bored in a house and I'm in a house bored. Bored in a motherfucking house bored. And I'm bored in a motherfucking house bored.
Sing with me. Bored in a house, bored in a house bored. Bored in a house, bored in a house bored. I'm bored in a motherfucking house because I'm bored in a motherfucking house bored. Yes. Just like that song. Now,
I'm bad at rapping, sorry.
It's okay. You see, the thing about me, I can rap songs, but I can't rap presents. Terrible at that. Hey, listen to this. This is pretty, I say shocking, but it's basically just the norm now. 7 people, including the suspect, have been killed in a mass shooting at a mobile home in Colorado Springs.
7 people have been killed in a mass shooting. Oh, that sounds terrible.
Now, a gunman who shot dead 6 people and then killed himself at a birthday party.
Oh, dear.
And this happened yesterday. Now, the motive for the shootings, which took place at a mobile home where the families had gathered. So basically, they were trailer trash people to celebrate another trailer trash person's birthday. Has not been established.
It could have been van life, you know. That's like a new fad.
Well, maybe this person had a better caravan than the gunman, and that's why he went on a rampage. Fuck you! You got a better caravan than me! Fuck you! And then he shot them. Probably what happened. Now, the suspect, a boyfriend of one of the female's victims, drove to the residence, walked inside, and began shooting people at the party before taking his own life. Colorado police have said.
This female in question. So there's a boyfriend of one of the females.
Yes. So look, again, I don't know the full details yet, but it sounds like maybe she cheated on him. Or maybe, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of men who are very, very jealous and have very bad trust issues.
True. Well, women as well. It's not only men.
Yeah, I think, yeah, sure. But I think the percentage is men. A lot of men have trust issues. I'm not one of those. I'm happy to announce. If my girlfriend wants to go out for drinks or dinner with her friends, she can do that. But, you know, there are a lot of men who are very jealous, are very overprotective, insane. So it could be a mixture of things, you know. Maybe, again, like I say, maybe she cheated on him.
Yeah, it's normally out of lust and that the rage arrives, I guess.
Mm.
Someone is being cuckolded or cheated on, that's when people get up to no good. Well, both ways. Like, cheating on someone is no good, and taking revenge by killing people is, you know, that's also very problematic.
Well, some people just think that's the only way they can feel better about themselves, is if they take revenge, whether it's shooting each other or being a creep and following them home or, you know, whatever. So, very terrible. Where was that other one on Friday? Can you remember? I think it was also in Colorado, wasn't it?
I don't remember, but you said it was a 12-year-old with a gun that shot some people at school.
At a school.
Wasn't it Idaho on Friday?
Yeah, well done. Well done. And what's funny is that Joe Biden wants to put an end to this. Good luck to that.
With the anti-gun laws.
Yes. Good luck to that.
Well, I mean, I support people having freedom and rights as much as I can, but I've never understood why the Americans have such an obsession with owning guns.
Because it's part of their First Amendment or their Fourth Amendment or whatever it is. So it's the right to bear arms.
Yeah, the Fifth Amendment is the right to bear arms. But, you know, like in all the countries that I know of where people can, or in most countries where people can own a gun, there's just like havoc. So in Asia, in China where I lived, you weren't allowed to own a gun. In Japan, you can own a gun, but you have to jump through like millions of hoops. You have to go for like a psychological test. Mm. You have to renew the license every year, and you have to prove that you're a hunter. So don't just like dish them out willy-nilly.
Well, you see, this is the thing. I actually read about this gun process in Japan. And the thing is, even the psychological test, you can lie. You can say, you know, you are this, you know, this, you aren't crazy, or you know, you aren't a psychopath. Because anyone can lie in these tests. So even that is foolproof.
Yeah, I guess you can lie, but in Japan, you know, they're very vigilant about it, and they regularly administer these tests, and they keep very close tabs on the people that do actually own the guns. And I'm not saying there's no gun violence in Japan. Like, you know, every now and again, they also have some weird murder. But it doesn't happen as regularly as it does in America. So. Yeah, and it's... actually, funnily enough, do you know which country actually has the most firearms per capita?
Do tell.
It's not America.
Where is it?
It's, oh gosh, now I want to say Sweden, but it might be Switzerland. Anyway, it's one of those countries, either Sweden or Switzerland. I'm thinking now maybe it's more at Switzerland. And I guess regardless of which one it is, both of those countries are pretty peaceful. So,
well, you say that, but you had that Andres Breivik guy from Norway who went on a rampage and shot children.
Well, every now and again, someone somewhere is going to lose their mind, regardless of how, like, comfortable and luxurious the environment around them is.
I could never own a gun. I don't have it in me to do it.
Yeah, my family used to own guns, but as the people in my family, I guess, as grandfather passed away and my father passed away, etc., we just eventually sold them off. Like, I have also no interest in owning one, and neither did my brothers. And, you know, they still live in South Africa, so I'm very proud of them for saying no, because I do know a lot of South Africans that drive around with guns in their cars.
Yeah. No, look, I think if you do own a gun, you've got to be aware of what you have and what you own. So.
Yeah, people have to be serious about taking responsibility for it.
Yeah, definitely. I've managed to get a line through to Colorado. This is actually Colorado right now. This is actually the shooter before he killed himself. Terrible. He's busy loading his gun. Terrible.
Yeah, it's not nice to get news like this.
No. But on some happy news, we all need some happy news, especially on a Monday. animals with a backbone will have a legal right to feel happiness and suffering thanks to an animal's sentence bill. There we go. Sentence, because it's a scientist. Sentence bill, which will be announced next week. Now, the legalization will rule that animals are aware of their feelings and emotions, can experience joy and pleasure, as well as pain and suffering. And this is in the Sunday Telegraph.
The UK?
Yeah, so... Apparently, their emotions will be recognized. And I think that's terrific, because I am a huge animal rights, I wouldn't say activist, but I have a lot of emotions and feelings for animals. And I get incredibly upset when, you know, you do see people who post, or not necessarily post, but they share these images on Facebook. And they don't do it to upset you, but, you know, they share it because they also upset and they want to spread the word. But it's just, I don't want to see that. So whenever I do see an animal, you know, not just on Facebook, but in real life, if I see an animal that's suffering, I get very sad, because no one wants to see that.
No, it's not something it's nice to be confronted with. But sometimes I feel like a lot of that guilt is also because we kind of maybe also eat the animals. So we kind of feel ashamed for, you know, our playing our own part that we play in their demise.
Sure. I mean, I don't eat as much meat as I used to. In fact, I think I've cut down at least 70% of my meat eating. Yeah. It's mainly because I care about the animal, but also there are other things to eat, mainly vegetables, fruit, and other substances.
The market has responded to people not wanting to eat only meat products, and they're coming up with like some really cool and innovative new products.
Yeah.
And recipes and things. So yeah, that is really nice.
Yeah, and I was reading now that the EU has actually has gone ahead with plans so that you can eat crickets and worms and all of that.
Oh yeah, those are actually very nutritious and delicious. Yeah. That's why lots of Asian countries and actually a lot of African countries already eat
Mapani worms.
Yeah, well, like we have Mapani worms. I guess a lot of people don't eat them very regularly, but I've eaten them a few times.
Sure, I mean that's like a staple diet in Japan, apart from sushi and all of that.
Not Mapani worms.
No, but insects. Yeah. Insects.
No, in Japan not so much, but it's big in Korea. In Korea they eat it a lot. In Vietnam and Thailand they eat a lot of insects. In Japan, I don't think they have a lot of insects. Maybe they would have eaten them if they did.
Hmm.
Yeah. But you know, this is a nice thing about Asia. So people are always like, oh, the Asians eat everything. But it's a good thing that they eat everything because it's not only like, oh, they eat like the whole spectrum of animals, but they also eat like literally every single part of the animal, which is a good thing. It's like no food wastage.
No, absolutely. It's not just insects. I mean, I've seen Asians eat pigs, but like everything, even the eyeballs.
Yeah, I mean that's what we should do. And like, you know, sometimes people pull their noses up at it, but you know, one of my favorite dishes in the world is pig's ears. I freaking love it.
I've never come to that. I mean, I'm going to sound like a real imperialist when I say this, but I remember my garden worker in South Africa used to clean our garden and the pool and all of that. He used to eat pig's feet. You know, they feet that you can get from Pick and Pay.
I love pig's feet too. I like the ears the most, but the feet are also good.
Mm. And yeah. he used to cook them, but not. It's very similar to a braai, but it's not really. And you can smell it, and it actually smells really good, really nice.
I mean, if you like the skin, like pork crackling, then basically the feet is like a fantastic part to eat. It's just like fat and skin.
Well, if you want to hear something else relating to this, do you know that firefighters, if you ask a firefighter if they eat pork, they will say no, because apparently we taste and we smell like pork.
Yes, I've heard that before.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very interesting because I wouldn't say I've eaten myself or I've tried to, but I've, like if you get a cut on your hand or your finger or whatever, and you like,
don't stick it in your mouth.
Yeah, but you don't taste. I don't know. I don't taste the same as bacon. But anyway, look, I think it's terrific that this is going to be happening. I think animals have just as many rights as humans do. And we need to start realizing this and respecting this.
Yeah, we talk about it at university a lot, actually, because, you know, I'm part of the fashion system, and the fashion system also exploits animals a lot.
Well, of course, especially in the makeup industry.
Well, there's the makeup industry. There's just, like shoes and handbags and fur and leather. Crocodiles suffer, the snakes suffer. Like what are the fish in the sea, like the sand sharks?
Eels and all of that.
Not eels, but I think like manta ray skin is quite good also for handbags.
Really?
And it's not even, oh, and then also like wool for sheep. And merino,
What's that stuff Canada Goose uses?
oh yeah, kind of like the
Fur.
goose feathers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of exploitation of animals in the fashion system as well, so we do discuss it. And there's this concept called, well, there's a bunch of concepts, but the one that we talk a lot about is like human exceptionalism, where humans have placed themselves on top of the pyramid, and we just think, oh, because we are the strongest, we can just exploit everything else.
Of course.
But yeah, we're now moving into something different. They like I guess I don't want to say progressive people, but there's this
No.
concept coming up that's called the Anthropocene or the Cthulucene. Oh, Anthropocene, sorry, is us destroying the word. But there's the Cthulucene, and Cthulhu is the big octopus, that comes from underneath the sea. But also, like they're saying, we should act like the octopus. So you have like eight legs, and you sort of like you get involved in everything, and you're one with the world as opposed to just like being on top of the pyramid.
Look, I think we are a lot more aware of our surroundings, i.e. where, where the fur comes from, where the material comes from, and also the food that we eat. I think, you would have to be living underneath a rock or just be ignorant, really, to not feel any emotion for that poor animal suffering. Whether it's a Canada Goose jacket or whether it's a T-bone steak that you're eating, or even if it's a chicken, whatever, I do think we are a lot more aware of our surroundings and good. I mean, it's taken us this long, but good, very good.
Well,
And
I mean, luckily we've reached the we've
before it's
come
too
to that
late,
realization,
yeah, before it's too late. And I'm glad, and I really am. I do mean this. I am glad to hear that you do actually discuss this in your university, because the more people are aware of it and the more people know about it, the better.
I mean, we talk about the point at which the animals, at which humans would actually be able to understand animal communication in such a way that, the animals can start advocating for their own rights. So I guess like you have activist groups now for whatever cause they might be in the world that's affecting humans, animals eventually would also have a voice,
Sure.
So we constantly are postulating these scenarios, like what would it be like, and how would we approach fashion and the whole fashion system differently if we also had to take animals' feelings and their rights and stuff into consideration?
Absolutely. And I think this is a terrific thing, both what you and your fellow colleagues are doing, but in general, I think the more the merrier, I say. Now, we mentioned Jeff Bezos on Friday, and
Oh
why
yeah,
he's
old
so rich.
Bezos.
Yeah, and why he's so rich. Well, listen to this. Insiders have put, or insiders, should I say, Amazon puts underperforming employees on ambiguous coaching plans with unrealistic goals and no clear path to get them off.
That
So,
sounds like that
ka-ching.
technique that they do in Japan as well. They just relegate useless employees. Well, sorry, I don't want to use that word,
You
but the
can say
ones
whatever
that
you
they
want.
think
Yeah,
are
don't worry.
underpaid.
You can say you can name and shame Jeff Bezos as much as you want.
Yeah, but I don't want to name and shame the employees that work for him, saying that they're incompetent. But yeah, they have a technique in Japan as well. I mean, maybe they don't practice it so much anymore, but if you. They can't really fire you, so if you underperform, they just sort of like put you in a room and then they stop assigning work to you completely, and then for the rest of your life you'll just sit in a room and do nothing.
I would love, and I do mean this, by the way, I would love to hear a conversation between you and Jeff Bezos. I think it would be a very good conversation.
I think he might be a very smart man, and he's probably used to defending his position. So
he's probably, by the way, he's probably one of the people who had a very strong, good relationship with Jeffrey.
Oh, like Epstein as well?
Mm. Yeah. For sure. I'm pretty sure that's also why Jeff Bezos' wife left him.
It's very possible.
Now, finally, in the news, Japan's Olympic protests intensify, and that's because COVID-19 is spreading without the vaccines that's needed. Japan is set to host the Summer Olympics, which is interesting because they're going to be hosting them in empty stadiums.
Yeah.
The Japanese capital is under a state of emergency as it logs new daily high records of COVID-19 infections. Most Japanese want the games delayed or cancelled, but the government shows no signs of backing down. And we all know why that is. Because it is...
Why is that for the money?
Expensive to host the... Yes, it's expensive. And obviously, the more the Japanese government delays the Olympics, the more it costs them in their own money. Because obviously, sponsors are getting annoyed because they're paying for something that's not happening. So, yes, the Japanese government has to fit the bill. But it's interesting because I think Japan has a lot of money because, as we spoke about on Friday, they're quite happy to give a town in Japan $2 billion to build a squid. So
Japan actually doesn't have as much money as people think they do. They had a lot of money in the 60s and the 70s and maybe the 80s. Like, their economy almost collapsed in the 90s, and they've been riding out the recession now for like the past 30 years. The people there do spend money, though, so, you know, they're still lucky. Or lucky that, yeah, the people there are willing to spend their salaries on commodities produced inside of the country.
Mm.
Yeah, it's not going as well for them as
they would have hoped. No, but look, I think a lot of places that were supposed to host events, it's not going as well. Japanese Prime Minister... how do you say his name? Well, he said that they're putting all their efforts into stemming the spread of the infections, asserting that despite concerns, Tokyo can and still will host a safe and secure Olympics this July and August. Now, overwhelmingly, Japanese people have disagreed with that sentiment.
Really? I would have thought they would be happy that...
Well, no, because they won't be able to go and watch it in the stadium. So.
Well, yeah, unfortunately...
So I can understand that. Hey, what are you doing during this week, apart from your studies?
Well, I mean, mostly I do studies, but I have a very creative week planned. Today I went to the printing workshop and I did some foil printing on my clothes. It's as exciting as it sounds.
No, I enjoy that kind of stuff, actually. In fact, my friend in Germany, who I'm going to be visiting soon... She's my very good friend. She's having a baby.
Congratulations to her.
I'll definitely send your wishes and congrats. She's before she got pregnant, she was actually doing that. She was making her own clothing line. She wasn't making any profit of it. She was doing it just for a fun hobby.
Yeah. It's very difficult to make money as a small industry nowadays. It might in the future become better again, but especially the pandemic has also shed light on how unequal the world.
Mm.
Well, I mean, people are, they feel comfortable with the old big brand. So, you know, it's a name that you can trust. So it's just, you know, they give you something that they've been producing for like 100 years or whatever, and people are just comfortable with it. It's the safe option. So that's why they've been sort of migrating to the big brands more than maybe the more small independent ones. I'm also not studying fashion because I think I'm going to be a millionaire and have my own clothing line. I highly doubt that it will work out.
Bianca, you never know. You just never know. The way things are going at the moment, you just never know.
That is also true.
Okay, so you're going to be doing that. What else are you going to be doing? Anything else interesting?
Tomorrow I'm starting an internship in Rotterdam. So I have to get up really early and make the 2-hour journey from Arnhem to Rotterdam. So I have to leave my house at 7:15. I have to get up at 6. I'm really scared I oversleep. I mean, I've gotten very comfortable with the student life and sort of just waking up whenever I feel like it. But yeah, so that'll be interesting. Yes. That's actually, I guess, all that I'd be doing is either making stuff at university or doing work for my internship.
So a very productive week. That's nice. I like hearing stuff like this. I'm just going to be working, work until Friday. Just one thing I want to mention before we wrap things up on the show, and that is hugging friends and relatives will be allowed from next week.
Oh, I saw that article. Yes.
Yeah, Boris Johnson. Will announce today in the UK, and he is expected to add that everyone should use their personal judgment and their own common sense. That's two very strong words coming from a guy who literally uses his penis to think when it comes to hugging after May the 17th. Now, care home residents in England will be allowed to go on low-risk trips. So there we go. People in England are allowed to hug again. I didn't know that was such a thing. People here in the Netherlands hug anyway, regardless of corona or not. So.
Yeah, but you only hug the people that you know. I haven't been hugging weird people.
No, of course. I don't hug people in general. I mean, I don't even hug my parents.
Oh, wow. I love hugging people.
I've never been that kind of person in general. I've never been a huggy person. All right. Have a good week, Lianca. Have a good week to you, the listener who is listening to the podcast. And we will chat on Friday.
Yes.